Oh. It was supposed to be love, but it didn't work out.
You're not supposed to tell them things like that.
Right.
All right, just leave them with the, leave them with the impact of what you're doing, okay? You don't tell them what you're going to be, all right?
Joy can help you through bad times, so... Psalm 35. Yes. Five. Psalm 35. 35, not 35. All right. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
30, verse 5.
You've
got the
congregation totally confused now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Read it again,
though.
Yep.
For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when you are going through a trial, James 1:2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And then, when you're mourning, Isaiah 61:31. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. The garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then, the opposite, when you're happy, Psalm 100, verse 1. Make joyful shouts to the Lord, all you lands. And then, when you have achieved something, Matthew 25:21. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Joy is there in any situation you may go through, whether you're sad or happy, down or out. It is there with you 24/7, 365.
Incidents, my topic's on love. Well, I would just, I had to speak tonight, and yesterday I've been praying for a couple of days, and I just had nothing come to me at all, nothing at all, blank.
Yeah.
Usually something comes up, but nothing. That morning I read my Bible for about an hour, and just nothing at all, and I just sat down and told me that I had nothing at all. He just had a talk with me, and about 5 minutes later I was sat down and I just opened my Bible and I just turned to Galatians 5:22. And I just read it. Yes. Yes. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And I just kept reading it, and I don't know how many times I must have read it, but I just kept reading it, and after a while I keep reading it. All I read was the fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
That's all I read. I didn't see the rest of it. I just kept reading the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I just sat there thinking, why is that? Then I started realising to me that when you have that pure love, that agape love inside you, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control will all manifest themselves straight out of that love. So, and I just read it, because I mean, it's the first thing that comes up. And I just kept reading it.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is love.
Yeah.
And I realised people who haven't got that love can't manifest these fruits.
Yeah.
And people who have that love, you can see that these things manifest. And so, I mean, when you love someone so much, you can't be angry at them. You can. But you're always gentle with them. You're always faithful to them.
Yeah.
You're always good with them. You know, kindness is always there.
Yeah.
You're always patient with them. There's always, most of the time, 99% of the time, there's peace there. And there's always a joy.
When Luke said peace for a moment, then joy comes in the morning.
And there's usually your self-control there. And I just kept reading and just meditating on it, and it's so true. All you need is love.
Yeah.
But now it's, as soon as you get that pure love, everything else falls into place.
Yeah.
So, that was.
We didn't really know what we were going to speak on until probably about half an hour before we arrived. So that's why there's not much. So I was like them two. I didn't really know what to say. I'd wrote a little bit down, but not much. So, but then I thought, well, I'll recap on what we've been looking at over the last couple of years or a year so far. I don't know. Can't remember how far away some of these things are. And I thought, well, I'll look at what God's given us to help us, like at work and at school, and look at what teachings we've been given. So I thought, well, we've got the Bible, and in the Bible, there's loads of mistakes. People are always making mistakes. We're always told, don't be scared to make a mistake. Everyone makes them. And when I'm playing cricket, I'm told, when you make a mistake, learn from it. If I get bowled by somebody, I'm expecting the next ball to not get out to them. And it's the same with life. We can use the Bible in that way. We can read it, and we see where other people make the mistakes. And we can not make the mistakes that they made. Yeah. We also see in the Bible where people ask God to help them in trials and tests and all that lot. They're similar to what we get every day. At work, we're always challenged. We're having to witness, and it can be difficult at times.
Yeah.
Solomon asked God to help him in the Bible. We can learn from him. We can ask for his help. Ask for God's help. Ask for his wisdom in situations. And Job is all of Job's full of of like learning curves and places where things happen. And we read Job and we can learn from that as well. Then I was thinking about, well, we've been looking at tongues and stuff. And Geraldine brought in that tape and we listened to that a couple of weeks ago. And then we went out and we came back, and Grace, she testified on how she'd been just going to work and praying in the car and stuff like that. And how it made a difference for Dad. He's been doing it. And his class is improving and all sorts. That's definitely something that God's given us to help us. When we were at Geraldine's, we were moving some slabs for her. And my dad got attacked by midgets. And we were moving the slabs, and my dad, because he's so unfit, he looked exhausted. So she didn't even turn up. Geraldine came out and she saw my dad, and she says, "Oh, we need to pray in tongues for strength." when I heard her say that, it reminded me. I'd been thinking about Bish and how he's coming over in a couple of weeks' time and stuff. And I thought, well, we've also got his angels as well as praying in tongues, and that's something that I forgot about. I'd been thinking about praying in tongues. I'd been praying in tongues on the way to school and stuff. I'd totally forgot about my angels, and I think that's something that we do. We get onto something, and then we forget the other bit. Whereas if we mix them together, we'd get an even better result. So our angels. It was when Bish came over, he told us that we should name our angels. We've got an angel for every job, and half of mine have been redundant for the last couple of weeks. So, and then I remembered Luke just making a joke out of calling his Bob or somebody. And so, yeah, I've been trying to use my angels and praying in tongues and the Bible, mixing them all together, and I'm going to see results. So.
Flowing through the kingdom of God, and that is available to you and me right now. And you know, that was a good thought, the fact that love really accompanies all the gifts, all the fruit of the Spirit. Each, if you're going to be patient with somebody, you're going to have a bit of love to be patient with them in the first place, aren't you? And I know I've preached on this in the past, and I've said that love is the highest one to attain to. And it's first on the list, but it's usually the last on our list for some reason. Because we always expect somebody else, you know. Well, they should know better. They should do this. They should do that. And we—I don't know about you, but I do it. I know I do it at times. And love, it probably is the most difficult to rise to. True love is the most difficult to rise to. It's easy to say to somebody, oh, I love you. But then there's the acting out of that love. And that's the difficult bit. Mm-hmm. To actually act it out is very difficult. To say it is easy. But to let it really mean and let it have something, some substance, that's difficult. Really, that it really is tough, because our natural nature at times is not to love. Fight for yourself, defend yourself, and sort your own corner. But love lowers all the defences. Love makes you vulnerable.
As you read these accounts of missionaries,
yes. Yes, loving the natives.
Yeah,
before they can get a breakthrough. You've got to show, you've got to put. Love becomes practical. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Love is not in and out. Love says, I'm here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Love says that, well, no matter what you do, kid, you've got me. Whether you like it or not, you've got me. You know, and that's what love does. And love says, well, and there are times that even in the process of what we're doing, when things are going on, we don't like what's happening, but love just says, well, that's okay. If I continue to love, then the power of God's love in my life will cause a changing into that situation and circumstance. When you begin to pour love onto people, then it begins to change their lives.
We see in that, you know, doing this study on rules, and we see that in the covenant.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a foundation.
Yeah, again, covenant is out of love.
Yeah.
Not out of what can you give, but how much can I love, what can I love you with? How much can I love you with? What is my... the God's covenant is built on His love. Thank God it's not built on our love. It's built on His love. He knows how much He can love us, and He can love us all the way because He gave His Son to go all the way. And so love is really truly powerful. And when true love comes in on the scene, then joy is there. Joy begins to rise, because
When true love's there, you can relax, you can enjoy what is going on around you, because love allows that to happen and allows you to begin to flow and to grow and to move in God. And love does allow you to make mistakes. I mean, you know, I remember one church we're in, they said, we don't want you to make mistakes. No, I know, but tough. As long as we learn, as long as we see the mistake we made and that we learn from the mistake we made, that's okay. It is part of the process, and as Jonathan said, if we look at, we can look in Scripture and we can see where the Bible shows us where, sorry, Daniel said it, where people make mistakes. We can learn from that and think, oh, okay, I better try and do that differently. And if, and as you begin to, the word is, as we've said in the past, it is a manual for living life on the earth. Amen. Because when we get to heaven, this written book, when heaven really truly comes into us, this written book will be obsolete. And the reason I say that is because when heaven really gets into us, then the word is really into us. We will know the word will know us, and the power of the word will work itself out of us constantly. And so we'll not need the written word, because we have the word, Jesus himself. Heaven came down and glory filled the earthly vessel. And that's what we need. We need more of God's heaven, God's love. God created the world out of love. God created the world out of his joy. You look at nature. Last night there was a program on New Zealand and Tasmania and Australia, and about some of the animals, the rare animals that these small islands that are out there, that, you know, we as the what's the word I'm looking for, the ones that went out to populate these places, we took all our immigrants, whatever it were, prisoners, convicts, yeah, that's it, we took all our animals with us, and our animals went and killed theirs, basically. But you see, on these small islands that are out there in the ocean, our animals haven't got there, and there are some unusual and strange and yet beautiful animals that God created. You know, God took a dash of colour and said, oh yeah, we'll just have a bit of this and a bit of that, and oh, we'll, and all these beautiful creatures that God made, that came out of God's mind and his creativeness. And when you see some of these animals and you look at them, you think, God must have a sense of humour. Yeah. God must be a joyful God, because of some of the creatures that he has created, and their colorations that he's created. You can't help but want to laugh at some of them, bless them. And but the power of God working in people's lives. And we can pull from God's wisdom, can't we? We can see with Solomon, it's been shared tonight, that he asked for help. Our trouble is we forget to ask for help. We forget about our angels, don't we? We forget about praying in tongues, and we unfortunately reach into our human nature, our human state so often, and we've got to reach into the things of the kingdom of God. And the reason we do that is because, as of yet, it has not yet become, in the world, what the world terms, second nature. I'm going to turn it around a little bit. It's not that it should be second nature. It should be our first nature. That the old man is dead, the new man has come, and it's this new nature that then immediately says, oh, where do I go? I reach into that which is of the things of God. I reach to the kingdom of God. I call upon my angels to bring to me that which I need to bring and prepare and to do battle, to fight and to protect my family, to protect my job, my business, to protect whatever you are involved in, that the word of God will become powerful and mighty through your mouth.
Amen.
Because you believe it.
Yeah.
And that your mouth can change the destiny of way things are going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you begin to reach out into that. But in doing that, that only happens as we endure. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to endure. You have to endure sometimes the circumstances, enduring to the end, because at the end God has promised victory. God has promised you will conquer. God has promised that you will reach the zenith of the things of Himself. And that love will have to carry you. Not the love for the situation that you are in, because you don't love the situation that you are in. But you have to learn to love within that situation. There's a difference. You don't love the situation that you're in, but you love in the situation. In other words, nothing can take that love from you. The circumstances, that are around you cannot take away the love of God out of your life. See, that love is a prime mover to the rest of the fruits of the Spirit of God. It is, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it changes every circumstance and situation.
And then other facets of, you know, of God's love is, that's where the glory is. Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's something that I've only just really grasped it. When we're in love, that's when the glory of God can be revealed. Not something that comes down from heaven.
No.
It's already within.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a reciprocal phenomenon as well. That's one of the most reciprocal phenomena that there are.
Yeah.
Because not only does it make people like you better, it makes them, you like them better.
Yeah.
If I can give an example of this morning, for example, I bumped into somebody I haven't seen for years, but I bought their house up in 1977. And he says to me, he's going to, you've not changed one bit. I says, well, so we suddenly all agreed that I've always been stunningly good looking, you know. but that's the physical side to you. We'd only spoke for a few seconds after that, after all these years, so he doesn't know that I haven't changed one bit. But if I could say, a few minutes before I bumped into him, I'd just been in doctors to ask for a flu gel and to get my prescription. There's a queue in there, and there's a lot of inane chat going on at front at queue, and you know, thinking there was a time when I would have projected body language in the days when I knew him before, right? You know, I would have projected body language, and then when that didn't work, I might have said, is there any chance we can move on today, like, or get served today, you know, and shouted that out in the crowd, all that stuff. And then when I got to the window eventually, I asked my flu jab, she says, October the 16th, and I would have said, you what? I'll be dead by then, you know, I would have come up with some comment like that. But no, you see, today, I stand in the queue, I don't project the body language, quite patiently. Eventually I get to the window, so it's got to be October the 16th, that's the order. That's great, thanks very much. Will 12:45 be all right? Previously I said, well, I'm not 12:45, I mean, I've got to come down here twice that day. I'm already down here Saturday morning, but that'd be great, thanks. You can accommodate any anomalies, and you can take compromise on board. She was really nice to me. You know, but she previously wouldn't have been, you know. So, and
And then you go out in the street, you go into a shop, and everybody's nice to you. And quite frankly, I think it then improves your life as well.
Yes.
Everybody's observation of you. Mm.
So that's right.
We all enjoy life far greater than.
Mm.
It's a question of
time.
Sorry.
Yeah.
What you sow, you
reap. Yeah. Sorry. Oh yeah. What you sow, you reap. Yeah. that's right. So it all bounces back at you.
Yeah.
It's from it. It's just much better. And this is love being projected.
Yeah.
See, I don't. Quite often, you folks will say to me, "I love you" and all that stuff, and I don't say it very much. I don't say that. I think it's more important to do it.
Yeah.
Saying it are just words that can be walked up the duck's back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you project this love, people will know.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep rubbing it in. You know, it's like saying, "I'm wonderful." You say, "Yeah, I know you're wonderful." It's that. Isn't it? if you are good at anything or wonderful, people will know. You don't have to have a big placard.
Yeah, and that, and again, that prime fruit is love. Yeah, you see, you will have. I mean, as you said right at the beginning, you only been talking a couple of minutes. How can he know whether you've changed or not? You know, it's just the physical appearance that he looks at. But inwardly, I mean, we've known you. How long is it? 4 years, four and a half. Yeah, I mean, we've known you 4.5 years, and I can see a tremendous change in you.
You wouldn't say you haven't changed one bit, would you?
Oh no, you've changed massively.
Well, but he can only say about your physical appearance.
Mm.
So it's a compliment.
I just wonder if
it is.
30 years ago, he says you just look sick.
I'll be here next to you. That's
right,
you've got
some.
Yeah,
so
I'll
come
up like a 30-year-old.
There you go. Well, the word says a merry heart doeth good like medicine, praise God. So, you know, and
I've changed a lot.
Yeah, you have to be quick though, Matt. But certainly, you know, when we've looked at the gifts of the Spirit and looked at the anointing of God that comes, there is, when love is moving mightily, there is a greater anointing. Because again, it's corporate for them to flow together. Because the anointing comes from God. And God's love flows from his throne room. His anointing flows from his throne room. They have to flow together. And they, if you want, for a want of a better word, they lubricate one another. And, you know, when you understand, if you put olive oil on your hands and then go to pick up a smooth glass, you're in serious trouble, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whoa, you're going to lose that at some stage. And because it will just slip through. And the anointing and the love flowing together will cause it to just slip through into your life and pass on to others so that it can have a dynamic effect on other people's lives, and it can change people's destinies. You see, you are here, I don't mean here in this building, but you are here at this point in time in the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of God, to change people's destiny. God has changed your destiny,
yeah.
And he's changing you in that process.
Mm-hmm.
And love doesn't look at itself.
No.
You see? Mm-hmm. Because when that love of God really is flowing in us, we know that we are secure.
Yeah.
we know that we are secure. Like you said, you don't need people to keep telling you they love you. There are some people who do need people to tell them occasionally they love them, you know, it's fine. But we need to press on into to knowing, because love is not a word. Love is a spiritual dynamic. When people in the world talk about love, they talk about emotional sensations, feelings. Well, if some of you, when you got up this morning, if you went on your feelings, you wouldn't have gone to work, or you'd have stayed in bed, or, right, you know, or you wouldn't have gone to school, whatever. But just as you were laid in bed thinking, I don't think I feel like going today, that voice shouts and says, Luke, if you don't get up in a minute.
Now, there's Luke before we watch the TV.
Hey, I'm not talking about you.
TV that shouts.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that thing that sort of, suddenly there's that jolt that, whoa, whoa, I better get up and move. I better move on. But the love of God presses us it onto a greater thing and a greater depth in God. The love of God causes things to flow out of us that we've never known before. When the love of God really gets hold of us and starts flowing through us, things come out of our lives that we've never seen before. That it brings dynamics out of us that are flowing from the kingdom of God. And that's important to realize, that love will change what is going on that very day. Love will change what is going on that day, that moment. Like you said, however you approach somebody, if you approach them with that love and that peace of God resting and that joy in your life, they respond. Remember that time at the airport in Holland, everybody's railing at this, you know, and there was no room for this guy. He was railing at this woman. He was last on the plane. He was sent to the back, basically. Yeah, that's right. He went the long way. And as soon as this lady got free, I was waiting for her to... As soon as she got free and she caught my eye and I caught hers, just began to speak gently and nicely to her. And there we were, straight on a plane. No problem. Just looking at my watch, she says, would you like to make a phone call? I said, no, that's fine. Oh, no, she was going to arrange transport then from the airport to another airport. No, it's okay, we're fine, that'll work, we've time to make a phone call and change our arrangements. And we were straight onto a plane, no trouble, weren't we? But but you could see these people, this man was railing at them, and there was two or three of them behind his counter, and they're all looking at one thinking, he's going to be last, we are not going to give him any room. We, you know, he's like, just ignore him, he's going to wait for this one. But just that approach, and love will always win. Love will always win through. Times when we think it's not going to win through, but love never fails. It conquers all. Yes, and that's right. Love that kept Jesus to the cross. It conquers all. Yeah, you're right.
Can I just share what was in the word today on Monday? Everybody knows this, but it was the principle that inspired St. Francis of Assisi to pen his famous prayer. And what struck me about this, it totally embodies what love is, because we've got such a... We've become a nation that's always me, 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 I. And this is all about, no, give, give, give. Mm. And love gives, doesn't it? It never seeks its own. Mm. Always gives. Mm. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console,
mm.
to be understood as to understand, mm. to be loved as to love. Yeah. It's more important to give out all these things
yeah.
than it is to receive all those things. Mm. But by the same token, if you give them out, you'll get them back. Mm. So it's back to what we sow, we reap.
Yeah, because God has placed in each and every one of us the creative ability.
Yeah.
And if you are flowing in love, you will create love around you.
Yeah.
If you are flowing in peace, you will create peace around you. And it will expand. If you're flowing in joy, you will create joy around you, and it begins to come back to you. But so often people are seeking to receive love and receive joy. But you see, when you're seeking to receive, you are not in the process of creating. Now God has caused you and I to be creators. And as we create, we receive. Our prime function is that we are creators. We are creators in the kingdom of God. We are creators of divine health. We are creators of health into people's very bones. Because that is what God has placed within us. Because we are of His nature.
Mm.
And He is a creative God.
Mm.
So if we're of His nature, then we are creative.
Mm.
Well, you can be creative. You can be creative. But it is the nature of God that flows through us. And that nature of God is love.
Mm.
The kingdom of God is built on love. The commandment of Jesus was, love one another as I have loved you.
Mm.
How did He love us? Totally unselfishly. Yeah. Asked for nothing in return.
He just gave.
That's right. And yet we continually, we ask, we want, because it makes us feel secure.
Mm.
And yet God is giving, because that's what makes Him secure. Because He is secure.
Yeah.
And we need to begin to realize more and more that as we give of God's love, there will be an ocean of God's love flowing back to us. Yeah, it's the law of sowing and reaping. And I know we believe the law of sowing and reaping when we talk about our financial giving. Some 30, some 60, some 100. But the law of sowing and reaping is in all that we are doing and all that we're involved in.
Mm-hmm.
If we sow much love, there'll be much love sown back to us.
Yeah.
If we sow much joy, there'll be much joy sown back to us.
But by the same token, if we sow antagonism and division,
that's what will come back. That's the harvest field.
Do you? Like you forget things and you put things up, which they don't have to say. But whenever I have to ring, when I think about it, a credit card company or a bank or something, and they put me through to India, all that rises up in me is antagonism. And I've just realised now, when I start off, because I can't understand what they're saying, I start off irritable.
And she does.
It always ends up in a poof, 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 you know? and I had the wrong approach. I'm sewing. Bad thing, yeah. That's why I'm reading it around. And that's where that unconditional love comes in from, also, doesn't it? Because it doesn't put you into condemnation or anything, does it?
Yeah. It's really just a part to play from it now, you know.
Each and every one of
yes.
us
to
learn
feel
from
that, you know, that love. It's within us. We have to release that love in every circumstance, in everything we do, think, or say.
Yeah.
And we have the choice, and we can choose that. But for me, I since I listened to that tape of Andrew Womack, it just really gives me a deeper insight into to what I've got within the Holy Spirit. And the more we pursue it, like Margaret said today, the more she pursues it. The stronger we'll get, and we'll get closer to God, and His nature will just radiate from us, won't it?
It will.
So it's a major step for us.
Because speaking in tongues actually releases all the resources of God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So if I'm lacking in some area and I find myself going into this natural man, releasing the natural man, I need to check myself and speak in tongues and let the spirit man rise up and bring forth the fruit of the spirit, don't
I? I struggle with that with some of these travellers that come in my own Jekyll and Hyde character, and I don't like it.
No, I know what you mean, because they have this ability to bring it out. Now, whether it is the fact that is part of what they're sowing, because they themselves can have this sort of Jekyll and Hyde character and nature. And you have to then, so you have to guard against that and cover yourself against that so that you don't fall into that same trap. And I think it's they that bring it and try to impose it upon you, you see. And as you say, then it begins to, the old fleshman can begin to be raised from the, attempted to be raised from the dead. And you've got to learn to say, okay, I'm not got to not respond to that. And but it's not easy. It's not easy in the natural. But so we have to move into the realm of the spirit. And the realm of the spirit begins to bring us to a place of where we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. That's what the word says, through Christ Jesus. Not because of him, but it is through him. Now, if you're going to go through Christ, nothing sinful can pass through him. We're in Christ and Christ is in us. So at some stage we go through him and he goes through us. You know, there's this combination of everything that is going on mysteriously. And there has to be allowing constantly that cleansing of our lives constantly from the things of the world. Cleansing from our past that would seek to hold on to us, to hold us back and to control us. You know, feeling insecure and being challenged in those areas. And the fear is, when we're insecure, is if we let go of this situation, it will all go out of control and I will have nothing at the end of it and I'll lose everything. Yeah? But we have to learn that what we have right now all belongs to God.
Yeah.
We haven't got control. You think you have. And we all think we have. Many of us think we've got control of our finances.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on the other side of this little blue ball that is spinning around this galaxy can do something that will devastate your finances and my finances. Think about it, can't they? Who are you trusting? Who are we trusting? Who are we relying upon? If you rely on God, and if you are focused and fixed on God, and the love of God is flowing, and you are moving forward, and the joy of the Lord is functioning in your life, and things are beginning to move you forward, you're not going to make those mistakes. And though everything around you, as we know with Job, is taken, all his wealth, all his family, only his wife, all she can do is moan and curse. Come on. She did. And she said to him, why don't you do the same? Why don't you just curse God and die? No, that's not encouragement, that is discouragement. It's the wrong way, Margaret. I can see thou art yet far from the kingdom, my dear, but we shall pray for thee that you might return.
About love, because it's like confessing our sins to one another, but she's confident enough to do it to know there's enough love for,
yeah,
for people.
See,
going,
love will not judge.
No.
Love can't. Love does not judge.
Mm. That's
the hard bit.
Yeah, it is.
But you know, I'm amazed.
Is further down that road than me.
That's
not hard to
earth.
It's hard to everybody, really, because it's the natural man. When you're in the natural man, the natural man wants the builder. That's when you've got to pursue the spirit man.
Yeah. Yeah,
because that's the failing of the natural man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You see, Job's wife could only see the natural.
Yeah.
Job saw the spiritual. And his focus was, he knew that his destiny and his eternity and his wealth and his life was not in the natural things, but it was in God. He had some pain. It caused him emotional heartache. It caused him real pain and agony because his physical body manifested it. But yet, deep down, his spirit was hanging on for God. Hanging on for God. And then, you read the end of the book. God blessed him with a double portion. You know, it was all back, double. But you see, that was because his focus was not on himself. And what was directly going on right there and then, or in this, his focus was on what was going on, but his attitude and his approach was, don't pity me.
No.
Don't pity me. Pity yourselves.
Mm.
Because I know my God.
Mm.
People would say, well, you must have done something wrong, Job. And he pressed his way through into the things of God. It's a wonderful book.
Yeah.
Powerful book. Some of it you read and think, I don't really understand what's going on. Well, just remember, when you get to the end, you can be going through circumstances and you don't understand what's going on. But glory to God, you will get to the end of it. You might not understand what's gone on, but you will begin to see what is what God has done through all of that, in the blessings and the outpourings and the double portions and the anointing that God is placing upon you. Because God, because then Job has to then pray for his friends. You know? Absolutely. But again, you see, he's looking, he's heard the promises in the realm of the spirit, he's heard what God has said to him spiritually, that he would be a great nation. So he knows that if I kill my son, then God has to raise him up again from the dead, because God has to fulfill his promises.
Amen.
And it's God's promises, it's God's covenant to Abraham, not Abraham to God. And so he has this love relationship with God that he trusts him that much. See, love brings trust. And you are able to rest in that, and you are able to be secure. And as you know, you don't always need people telling you I love you, because you know it. Love is not soft. Some people think love is soft and soppy and lovey, you know, all that, but it's not. Love has to at times be firm and to be strong, because it seeks to bring and guide and direct us into the best things of God. And sometimes we can be wayward, and love sometimes has to just give us a good slap at the side of the ear and moves us back in the right line, and we move on, and we know the power and the presence of the living God. But it's about you and I enduring through this situation. It's not going my way. But you have to endure. Because maybe what you were thinking was your way is not what God wants for you.
Amen.
And so you have to change.
Mm.
But God's love in you will help you change.
I was just looking at the scripture that Jonathan brought, you know, and looking beyond it, because Paul's talking to Galatians here about getting the house in order again, effectively, and distinguishing between the law and the spirit. But what encouraged me reading a bit further back is where he says, "But by faith we eagerly await through the spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value.
Mm.
The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." So
yeah.
That when we love, we are expressing faith.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that's faith in God, that through that faith and love, people's lives can be changed, can't they? Because love is all those fruits.
That's right.
But what has also encouraged me, that the word that Jonathan brought just after that, it says against these things there is no law.
No.
So there is no excuse, in a sense. There's nothing to prevent us, you know, from behaving in that
yes.
way. You're only likely to be arrested if you you know, express some of the things that are expressed from verse 16 onwards. The sorts of things that
yeah.
we may have seen on our television screens this evening in London. You know, but where the sinful nature is being exposed, there certainly wasn't love and peace and joy in front of the Houses of Parliament, wasn't tonight. But funny, because on the way here, I stopped at Tesco at Edmonton to get water, and as I went in, there was a pile of bicycles on the pavement. You know how kids throw the bikes down, you know, and you have to sort of try and step over them, they don't move them. But so I went round them instead of over them, because I thought, I don't want to trip over them. And this little lad about 8 was stood outside the shop, and he was using the most foul language, shouting across the street to his friend, you know. And I thought, I have to say something. here, so I was about to say, excuse me, but you don't need to use that language or whatever. And I looked, I did it in love, I sort of looked at him and I got his attention. And just as I looked at him, he said, sorry, sir. But it encouraged me because he's obviously got some sense of right or wrong, but it's the influence of the world, isn't it, on people, you know. And we can be different, you know. We can show a different reaction, like you say, don't you?
Again, you didn't have to say what you were going to say.
No,
I know. He sensed what you were going to say, so he could sense what was on your mind. You didn't have to say it.
I drove away, I thought, what was that about, you know? And I suppose what it points out is
when you're speaking.
We don't have to say anything sometimes, but people see from our facial expression and how we behave physically and non-verbally, you know, whether we're demonstrating love.
Some,
you know, you see people that are queued up and like this, you know, and you can tell they're wound up and don't say anything to them, you know. Don't you? But, you know, as Christians, we need to be aware of those, you know, how people behave and what you're seeing, you know, because how people are sitting and standing and all the rest of it shows how they might be feeling and so on, all the rest of it, isn't it?
Well, the word tells us that our feet should be shod with a preparation of the gospel of peace.
There's been research done that if you smile at somebody as you go down the street, you know, tomorrow when you walk down the street, it's hard to do because people think you're staring at them. But if you have your head up and you look ahead and you see what people are doing as they're coming towards you, some people will make eye contact and smile, and others will think, what's he staring at, you know? I even had a bloke say to me once, do you want a photograph? But it's true, you know, because people are coming towards you and we are reacting, even though we might not be aware of it sometimes, we are reacting. When I'm doing visits at home and that, I mean, we're trained to watch what people are doing and not saying, if you like, in order to get an idea what some of the problems are. So if you show love in your posture and everything, that affects people as well.
Well, when I go for a stroll and somebody's coming towards you, you always know if they're likely to say good morning to you. Because at a very precise moment, you both make eye contact. So if you look up towards them when you're so many feet away from them, and they either look back at you and you know you're going to get a good morning from them, or they might continue to stay on the floor, so you know you're not going to get a good morning from them.
But Jesus displayed love without having to say anything, didn't he? Because he personified love. He was love itself, absolute pure from God, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. You know? And I was looking at the old hymn that we sing sometimes early, where it starts off, love divine, all loves excelling. So the divine love is above all other love.
That's right.
And it struck me that it's above the good love and bad love as well, because there's the love of sin. We only look around the world and see how people love sin by engaging in sinful things, don't we? But God's love is far above that. And it's also above... What I always find frustrating is when people don't know Jesus, but they really love people. And you think, if only they knew Jesus, wow, what would that be like then, you know? Because it'd be like a double whammy when people came in contact with that, wouldn't they, you know? But I'm encouraged that where Paul links love with faith there, when we do try and love people, we are demonstrating that we're putting faith into practice, you know? I'm encouraged by that today.
Amen.
So I'll try and love more tomorrow because I'll be demonstrating more faith then.
Absolutely. Good.
In that scripture where it says about the fruits of the Spirit, it says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus the Messiah have crucified the flesh, the godliness of human nature with its passions and appetites and desires. So we're expected to do that. It's not something that we should do one day and then move back into the into the natural. It's a lifestyle that we should be pursuing.
Yep.
And the fruits of the spirits are a wonderful check to where you are. For me it is anyway.
Doesn't Paul say daily crucifies?
Yeah.
because it will always be with us, the natural man.
That's right, it has
but
to be.
I don't think the natural man will not have it.
Oh, it does.
It's. I think it is dead because God says it's dead.
Yeah.
It's
yeah. But it's the habits
it
that
is.
Have to be broken.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Yeah. You drive a car by a habit. You that have driven cars from, you don't think what you're going to do next. You just do it. It becomes a natural process. The moment you sit in that seat and there's a wheel in front of you, your feet are on the pedals, aren't they? Gear lever, and you're away. You don't think, oh, where should I put my feet? Do you? Yeah. No.
No.
So we're breathing, isn't it? You don't think, oh, I better breathe out now. I better breathe in. It's there. It's automatic within us. And now that's a good side, but you see there's the bad side, that we get into a situation, automatically something comes up and it's the old nature.
It is.
And we have to then crucify that. And one of the ways of crucifying that is speaking tongues.
It is. Absolutely.
And that crucifies the flesh, because the flesh can't understand what's going on now.
No.
Grace, I get calls at home from international calls, ask them what the weather's like in India next time, and that breaks the ice a bit.
Breaks the ice.
No. Oh, that's the one about the polar bear that breaks the ice.
Yeah, it's
praying
in tongues.
It's praying in tongues.
I've got to do that when these people come in my
It'll be a double whammy. It'll have an effect on you, but it will also have an effect upon their spirits.
Yeah.
You see? You're dealing in the realm of the spirit, not the realm of the flesh. Mm-hmm. And you are dealing with the spirit that motivates them at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because you are in control.
Mm-hmm.
Because of Christ within you. Verse 25 in Galatians says, if we live by the Spirit, right, let us also walk by the Spirit. So we're not going to walk in the flesh. If you live by the Spirit, you will not walk in the flesh. And so to live by the Spirit is to, to pray in tongues and to worship God. And then you'll not walk in the things of the flesh. Because the things of the flesh says pity me. The things of the flesh say, I want some attention.
Yeah.
The things of the flesh say, you've got to love me.
Yeah.
If I speak in tongues at work, walking down the corridor, and sometimes I have, and somebody goes, what do you say? Because I go around humming choruses at work, and then I did start singing some words to something one day, and something did me alright.
It's alright.
I don't mind.
Praise God.
They don't know what I'm humming, do they?
No. So let us live by the Spirit.
Amen.
And then we won't walk after the things of the flesh. Now you talk. Now you start moving into another realm. I'm not sure we've got time for that tonight. But no, we won't.
Now you're a big boy.
Well done.
Proof of it here.
That was long. can I say well done to our minister?
Yes, they're doing very well tonight. Yes, excellent. So praise God.